Welcome back. 6 minutes past the hour. Very pleased to welcome back Dr. Joseph Kostic. We've had great interviews together in the past, and I can promise you today will be no exception. Let me just tell you a little bit about Dr. Kostic, and then we'll get right into our important topic. Doesn't get much more serious than today's topic on Deborah Heart and Lung Center presents Dr. Joseph Kostic, who is a very talented cardiothoracic surgeon and the director of the thoracic surgery department at Deborah Heart and Lung Center. Dr. Joseph Kostic is a cardiothoracic surgeon, board certified in general surgery and thoracic and cardiac surgery. Dr. Kostic earned his medical degree at New York College of Osteopathic Medicine. After medical school, he completed a residency in general surgery at Michigan Osteopathic Medical Center. He also completed a fellowship in cardiothoracic surgery at Deborah Heart and Lung Center in Browns Mills, New Jersey. Dr. Kostic's special interests include cardiothoracic surgery, no surprise, minimally invasive thoracic surgery, and he has authored numerous articles in peer-reviewed medical journals. Our topic today on Deborah Heart and Lung Center presents Dr. Kostic is lung cancer. Dr. Kostic, welcome back, sir.
Good morning, Harry. Thank you for having me back on your program.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Good to be with you. And let's get right into it. What is lung cancer?
You know, before we get started, Harry, when I was preparing for this segment, I noticed that we both started our respective careers on the same date.
How about that?
And I wanted to congratulate you for over 31 years in broadcast journalism and really commend you for all the charity work you've done over the years. It's amazing.
Oh, that is so kind. Thank you for taking a moment to do that. It means a lot to me, and my congratulations to you. So we know on our anniversary date that we celebrate that forever together. And that's
yes, we do. That's
very neat. And as you know, and I told this to you last time, this topic is very important to me. It's personally very important to me because I lost both my parents at a very early age to lung cancer. So I've paid a lot of attention to this topic for my entire life. So this means a lot to me, the time that we're going to spend together. And time is yours. Let me restate the question. What is lung cancer?
You know, cancer in general refers to the development of abnormal cells, and these cells grow and divide uncontrollably. They also have the ability to infiltrate, that is to say, to grow into and destroy normal body tissues as well as spread to the other parts of the body. And when this occurs in the lung, that's when we refer to it as lung cancer.
What are the symptoms of lung cancer?
You know, this is one of the problems where we as clinicians have difficulties in treating lung cancers because there are often very few signs or symptoms that we can attribute to this disease, oftentimes allowing these tumors to grow somewhat large in size. But when people do have symptoms, the more common ones are an unexplained cough, some shortness of breath, some unexplained chest pain, and any time we see blood in the sputum, we are always concerned about cancer.
Now, symptom-wise, a lot of times the symptoms happen when it's late stage as well, right?
That is very true. That's part of the problem we have as clinicians in treating this disease.
So having success with lung cancer almost means an accidental finding. Maybe you had some imaging or something on, who knows, a gastro thing or something. And, oh, look at this thing we see. That's your best shot almost of catching it in an early stage, isn't it?
We almost see a lot of incidental findings when people come into emergency rooms. You know, it's very common to get a CAT scan for something. And unfortunately, on these scans, then we start to see some of the early signs of lung cancer, and we can take care of these people a little bit earlier. But you're correct. A lot of it is just incidental in nature.
Now, if you catch lung cancer in an early stage, is it curable? Is it treatable? Early stage, you have a fighting chance, don't you?
That's absolutely true. Although the diagnosis of any type of cancer, in particular lung cancer, can be devastating for someone, we understand that, it is by no means a death sentence. You know, we are continuing to make strides in the treatment of this disease. And many treatments options are available for us, including surgery, chemotherapy, radiation therapy, and two newer areas, one of which allows our own immune system to help fight the cancer cells. So we have exciting new areas in the treatment. And with any cancer, obviously the earlier stage you get it, the better success rate you have.
You are listening to Dr. Joseph Kostick from Deborah Heart and Lung Center, a very talented cardiothoracic surgeon, and in fact is the director of the thoracic surgery department division at Deborah Heart and Lung Center. The topic this half hour on Deborah Heart and Lung Center presents Dr. Kostick is lung cancer. What are the risk factors of lung cancer?
When we look at the epidemiology, that is to say the risk factors that cause something, these are for lung cancer primarily environmental in nature. Smoking, radon, which is an odorless and colorless gas that is found in ground sources, asbestos, radioactive ores, and believe it or not, even the radiation from x-rays that we're currently giving our patients can cause cancer in the future.
Yeah, that's where you measure the cure versus the disease, right? Because you want to take an image, but maybe that doesn't find anything wrong. But if you do too many of the images, you could create a problem that wouldn't have existed. Kind of a conundrum, isn't it?
That's absolutely correct. We're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place.
But in cases like that, you can do imaging non-contrast and you minimize the potential for some of that, right?
And we've even adjusted the way we do one of our main techniques, and that's called a CAT scan, to what we refer to now as a low-dose CAT scan or a screening CAT scan, which uses less radiation than a standard one would. So we are tailoring our techniques to help prevent some of the problems we could be causing in the future.
When you do a topic like lung cancer, there's no throwaway questions. I mean, everyone is so serious, so significant. I think this is one of the most important, though. So you take whatever time you need, Dr. Kostick. What are the stages? Explain the stages of lung cancer.
Well, clinicians always try and break down in every cancer into stages. And when we look at lung cancer, we're no different. The stages that we refer to for lung cancer are generally stage 1 through stage 4. And these look at where the lung cancer cells are located, what is the size of the tumor, and if or where the cancer has spread. So stage 1 is generally where the cancer is found in the lung but not out, spread outside of it. And this can go all the way up to stage 4, where we know that the cancer is either spread to both lungs, in the area surrounding the lung, or even other parts of the body. And the various stages in between are combinations thereof of how far or how large the tumor has gotten.
Dr. Kostick, explain the link between lung cancer and smoking.
I know we talked about this last time we were on, that yep. Both of our parents smoked.
Yep.
It was quite common back in the day, and in fact, advertising was geared towards it. We know that from CDC studies that smoking is linked to between 80 and 90% of lung cancer cases in the United States.
Wow.
A very dramatic relationship. Cigarette smoke contains a toxic mix of many chemicals. Many of them have been identified as carcinogenic, that is to say cancer-causing. When these compounds from cigarette smoke are inhaled into the lung, it can affect those cells in several ways. It can directly damage the DNA. It can cause inflammation and irritation, and can actually fight the body's own ability to fight these cancer cells. So it's strongly linked to lung cancer.
We only take one break during Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents, and it is right here and now. We'll be right back in just a little bit, and I'll put the question out onto the floor, and we'll come right back to it when we return with Dr. Joseph Kostick, cardiothoracic surgeon and the director of the thoracic surgery program at Deborah Heart and Lung Center, and today's topic, lung cancer. I'm a huge believer that secondhand smoke is a really big deal. I know people, and I talk to them, that think that, come on, you're not smoking it, you know, it's just around. And there are people that don't believe. So we're going to talk about, can secondhand smoking place you at risk for getting lung cancer, and how significant is secondhand smoke, with Dr. Kostick. I am Hurley in the Morning. This is WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's number one news talk radio station. All because of you, and thank you for that.
Barkley, Van Camp, and Robbins.
Model suggests that though the world is currently in a warming trend, small-scale war, nuclear variety, could lower the global temperatures 2.5 degrees following the war. Now, why would that be? Well, because the sun can't break through. I mean, well, everything else will be gone, but hey, the planet will be much cooler now.
Good luck to you.
Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, weekday afternoons at 1 on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Enjoy.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. Join me today at 3, but now back to Hurley in the Morning right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM, South Jersey's talk station.
Thank you very much and welcome back. 22 minutes past the hour. Let's make it count. We have Dr. Kostick until about 35 minutes past the hour. The topic on Deborah Heart and Lung Center presents the talented cardiothoracic surgeon and the director of the thoracic surgery program at Deborah Heart and Lung Center, Dr. Joseph Kostick. And you can tell just by the first half of the program, very listenable, very relatable, and important content that Dr. Kostick has been presenting. We left a cliffhanger right before the break, and it is relative to secondhand smoking. Can secondhand smoking make you, I know it's Captain Obvious stuff, can it make you at risk for lung cancer, Dr. Kostick?
Boy, that's an extremely good question, and you're absolutely correct. We have easily documented that secondhand smoke can be just as dangerous as actual smoking when it comes to lung cancer. When we expose a non-smoker to significant secondhand smoke, the risk of developing lung cancer is increased by 20 to 30%. Mm. When you look at the total number of people that die from lung cancer every year, that's going to be about 7,500 people a year that will die because of secondhand lung smoke.
So people that say that secondhand smoke is a joke, the joke's on them because it's no joke at all. It can be deadly serious.
We are still inhaling the same cancer-causing agents as the smokers are when it comes to secondhand smoke, unfortunately.
When we see things like mesothelioma and somebody may have, you know, worked on asbestos pipes or been around something like that, and it's, if this is not correct, correct me, but I'll just say it as a layperson, it can stay dormant and you're seemingly symptom-free, could be for decades. I've heard as many as 40 or more years, but then all of a sudden it can trigger. What is that all about? Why, how does something just unleash like that?
You know, the cancer can remain indolent or silent for quite a long time period and then all of a sudden evolve. And that may be because our own health as we get older, our own immune system tends to weaken slightly. And while it was keeping these cancer cells at bay due to other illnesses and other problems or just the process of aging, we no longer can control that and it starts to grow and spread on its own. But it all stems from the injury that happened oftentimes many years before.
This is one that I know we're learning more and more about. Just my own instincts told me a very dear friend, he has since passed, very dear friend walked in my studio one day and something was in his mouth and it was glowing at the end. And I could tell it wasn't really a cigarette, but then all of a sudden this just white cloud of smoke. I said, whoa. I said, what is that? He said, this is an e-cigarette. He said, and here's the great news. It doesn't cause any harm at all. I said, well, listen, I'm just a layperson. I said, but you're inhaling something that's been burned to create vapor and to smoke or whatever this is. I know it can't be good. It cannot be good. Do we know yet? I know we've heard of popcorn lung and these different things, and even young people. I know one that wound up on a ventilator for a period of time with lung damage from vaping, as they call it. Do we know if e-cigarettes cause cancer yet?
You know, while e-cigarettes seem to be less harmful just by the way they look and they act, and you know, you're not actually smoking, they appear to be less hazardous, but that may not be the case. We don't know a lot about them yet. They've only been around for a short period of time in the world of healthcare, so we don't have a lot of studies based on them. Several small animal studies, though, have shown they may actually stimulate cancer growth, and that's mainly because of some of the things contained within the aerosol in the device, things like formaldehyde, believe it or not.
Crazy.
The flavoring of the chemicals that are put in there, all are irritants, are all abnormal things that are getting inhaled into the lung. You know, and currently the FDA does not require testing of any of these substances. So I don't have an answer for you, but my intuition is that they still are not good.
Yeah, that's my intuition, too. I mean, you inhale it, how can it be good? I mean, it's got chemicals. It just, I think we're going to find that they're very, very bad. And I think we're already finding that there's something quite negative about it. And of course, the people that have dealt with the lung damage from it. How about smokeless tobacco? What can you tell us about that, doctor?
You know, that trades one problem for another, unfortunately. Instead of getting lung cancer, we've seen cancers of the mouth, the tongue, the cheek, the gums, as well as our food tube, the esophagus and pancreas. These have all been linked to smokeless tobacco, not only the oral and tooth problems that have been shown. Smokeless tobacco may actually increase the risk of heart disease and stroke, believe it or not.
Wow. Now, this is also very important. How is lung cancer diagnosed? Part two, how is lung cancer treated?
You know, the diagnosis of lung cancer, again, our lungs are protected by our bony rib cage and then by the muscles of the chest, so we can't see or feel these spots initially. So we rely on an X-ray approach, either by routine chest X-ray or by the technique we mentioned earlier, CAT scanning, in which the body is sliced up like a loaf of bread, and we look at all the individual slices on an X-ray machine. And then depending on if we can make a diagnosis, the treatment really has improved in the last 10 years. There are many options for us, including surgery, traditional chemotherapy, radiation therapy, and now immunotherapy. So the recovery depends on what stage you're on and what therapy you get. But lung cancer is getting more and more treatable as we go along.
Very exciting to hear. Dr. Kostic, can, very blunt question, can lung cancer be cured?
Yes, we are working very hard to do that. The earlier stage we get, the greater chance we have of curing it. That's why preventative medicine, routine screening, avoiding smoking becomes so important to us.
If you find this in stage one, you have, tell me if this is right or wrong. I would believe you have a patient that could be very well positioned for a favorable outcome.
That is true. As clinicians and as a surgeon, I am very encouraged if we can get somebody who's at a very early stage. And fortunately, throughout my career, I still see on follow-up some patients I operated on even decades ago who still remain cancer-free at this time.
Fabulous.
Only because we were able to get it at an early stage and treat them appropriately.
Fabulous to hear. Dr. Kostic, how does a patient, I don't want to say typically do, because I know everybody's special, unique, and different, but how does a patient do with stage two?
Stage two now requires a little bit more therapy. Sometimes it's a combination of two therapies, maybe surgery and chemotherapy, surgery and radiation, but still favorable compared to the later stage tumors.
How about stage three?
You know, as we get further along now it becomes somewhat more difficult. In stage three, the cancer has spread to the lymph nodes by then or some other section of the lung. And again, the more tumor you have, the more cancer that is present, the harder we have to treat it. And now there's a decision between whether it's surgery or chemotherapy or other treatments. And as we get along further in these stages, the prognosis is less favorable.
Do you see cases, though, where stage three and four can be cured?
Yes, we are looking, although the percentages are lower, we are looking to improve this every day. And we are still wanting to provide them with the best quality and the best quantity of life that we can.
This is another, I think, very important question. Can we do something to prevent lung cancer? How do you prevent lung cancer? Can you prevent lung cancer?
Absolutely, we can. If you do not smoke, please do not start. And if you do, please make every effort to stop. We know that if someone can stop smoking for 10 years, their risk drops by half to that of a current smoker. So it's very important.
So if also,
Also, we mentioned that secondhand smoke is also very important to avoid. So that becomes very important for us as well.
That's one of the challenges. I mean, you can make a decision. You're not going to be a smoker. It's sometimes tough, and especially years ago, because restaurants or anywhere you would go on public transportation. I mean, planes. Remember smoking on planes?
Yes.
You know, so secondhand smoke is a challenge to avoid, isn't it? Even still.
Well, we always remember growing up where four tables away from us was the smoking section.
Exactly.
And even though we were in the non-smoking section, we were not partitioned off by any dividers or anything. So, yes, it was very difficult in the past to avoid that.
How would you say in the past 5 to 10 years, the advancements with respect to progress? Because lung cancer, obviously, I know when my parents heard it in the mid to late 70s for my mom, and then my father about 6 years later, it was very bad news then, and the outcome was the worst. It was terrible. We've come a long way, haven't we?
We certainly have.
How is there anything around the corner that is almost there? Like the immunotherapy that you talked about, when your own body works against the cancer, that excites me. Because a lot of times some of the other things you do really breaks down the person to, you know, where good cells get hurt and killed, getting the bad ones. If you're fighting your own body with your body, it goes after the bad stuff without hurting the good stuff, doesn't it?
That's absolutely correct. Yes, some of the old perceptions and old views of chemotherapy and other treatments were absolutely correct. We not only killed the cancer cells, we killed some of our own body's cells that we wanted to keep around. The newer therapies were targeting for, say, proteins on the outside of cancer cells that are not on the normal cells. So the drugs actually just attack the cancer cells. And with immunotherapy, we actually stimulate our own body's defense system to kill these cancer cells and also causing less damage to the patient's own body. So they're very exciting areas that we are now actively pursuing to help in this battle against lung cancer.
I'm going to give you a closing comment, but let me tell our listeners, you can make an appointment. You can call 609-621-2080. That's 609-621-2080. Or it's very simple to navigate with any digital device. Go to demanddebora.org, and then you'll see the hyperlink right there, a big speed button block right there to click on that to make an appointment with Debora Heart and Lung Center. And today, of course, we're talking to Dr. Kostic about lung cancer. So you know the phone number, you know the website, utilize it. We talk to people off air all the time that the wonderful doctors that we present and the information that you impart really inspires people. We were talking off air about colonoscopies, and I know this program saved a friend of mine because he was just adverse to it. But after listening to our program on that, he made an appointment and they were able to catch something. He was totally symptom free at the time, but he had something bad going on that would have continued for who knows, for an extended period of time. And then the outcome might not have been as good. And we have heart patients and all kinds of different examples from listeners who have said that Debora Heart and Lung Center in this program has saved their life. So it's very inspiring. Dr. Kostic, let me give you a closing comment on lung cancer to close out your program.
And you know, prevention and education are going to be our two biggest keys, as we mentioned offline, and anything we can do to further the maintenance of healthcare and the prevention of diseases becomes so important to us as healthcare providers, and we are available at Debora for just those things.
Are you a fan of getting screenings that can be done even when you are symptom-free, like being proactive to that degree? What are your thoughts about that?
Absolutely. And one of the biggest advances we've had in the detection of lung cancer are lung cancer screening programs. So if you have a history of exposure to asbestos, if you have a significant smoking history, if you're between the age of 55 and 70, we strongly encourage a lung cancer screening. And therefore, we can hopefully pick up the disease. Unfortunately, if you have it very early, where it can be treatable.
If you can give me 30 seconds, I have a follow-up, and I think it's an important one for listeners, and I would even say including myself and any family members of mine that are listening, my immediate family members. Is there a familial aspect to this heredity? For example, my parents smoked. We know why they got and died from endocarcinoma of the lung. We, the children, we didn't follow, all of us, I think, can say that. We didn't smoke. Of course, we've been exposed to secondhand smoke. Is there a familial aspect to this heredity, even if you've been a non-smoker?
Yes, we see this with a lot of cancers, and in a strange way, some people are just predisposed to cancer. I just saw a woman who unfortunately has lung cancer, but has had two other cancers as well. So obviously, genetically, she's predisposed to not being able to fight off these abnormal cells, which some of us believe are occurring in our body on a daily basis, but our body is able to take care of it. And we do see a lot of tumor lines, including lung cancer, that may be hereditary-based.
The topic couldn't be tougher, but I always enjoy the time that we spend together, Dr. Kostic. I thank you for your time, for your expertise, and you put on a masterclass seminar on this. And I know you've helped a lot of people that were listening. And I encourage anyone that maybe came in partway through, go to the podcast later today when it's uploaded. You can download it. This is potential life-saving information, Dr. Kostic, that you've shared today. And I thank you for your partnership.
Thank you so much, Harry. And I can certainly say Deborah loves Hurley in the morning.
You're the best. Thank you so much for that.